following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Come to Dick's Sporting Goods this weekend, November 16th and 17th, for the North Face Thermoball Try-On event. Feel the comfort, warmth, and ultra-light weight of the North Face Thermoball Winter Jackets, selected as an Editor's Choice Award winner by Backpacker Magazine. This weekend, we've got a great gift for you with the purchase of a Thermoball jacket. Plus, enter a chance to win a trip to Park City, Utah, by uploading a picture of you trying on a Thermoball jacket. See store for details. Every season starts at Dick's.
Is breakfast really the most important meal of the day? At Buffalo Wild Wings, we think a case can be made for lunch. Think about it. Award-winning hand-spun wings in 16 signature sauces and 5 seasonings, buffalitos, wraps, burgers, and salads. Yeah, we're thinking that's a pretty good argument. Now throw in the fact that we've got over 50 big screens to watch all the sports you'll ever want. It's officially a no-brainer. So next time, make lunch your game-winning meal.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer,
this is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone, from Grand Island Senior High School. Good to be with you with today's Doug and John, where the state high school football tournament is underway, and there are some exciting matches going on here in the 11 o'clock round, and an exciting one getting ready to finish up on 1230 KHAS for St. Cecilia has had to go to a fifth set today with Lutheran High Northeast, and St. Cecilia is able to capture that fifth set 15-7. So St. Cecilia pushed to five sets by a Lutheran High Northeast program that has been very good, has had some state championships here in the last few years. So our 9 o'clock games are all done. St. Cecilia advancing on in Class C2, and they will play tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. You can hear the match on 1230 KHAS against either Palmyra or Crofton. So those are the St. Cecilia details. Millard West eliminated Grand Island this morning, 25-10, 25-16, and 25-18. Grand Island Northwest has advanced on by beating Beatrice 25-17, 25-22, and 25-21. Northwest will play the winner of Waverly Norris at the Heartland Events Center Friday night at 6:30. And right now, Waverly and Norris have just gotten underway here in the state quarters. Waverly lost to Northwest in last year's state semifinals. Also, Giltner, a straight set winner, as Waverly's up 10-5 here in the first set, by the way. Giltner swept Layton 25-15, 25-13, 25-17. They will play at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon against Grand Island Senior High, and they'll take on either Sterling or Meade. That's on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. So here at the top of the segment, let's run through the volleyball. Then Paul Conendike from Spartan Magazine is going to join us. I'm anxious. Are the Spartan fans more fired up that Michigan State might actually go to the Big Ten championship game again? Or are they more fired up about basketball and beating Kentucky? You go to Spartan Magazine, you take a look at all their articles, and it's basketball, 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 basketball. nothing posted really in the last few hours on football. And it makes you just go Nebraska's football crazy state, Michigan State a little bit more crazy on the basketball side of things, it looks like. And, of course, they'll be number one when the rankings come out next week after beating Kentucky. So we'll talk with Paul Kondike about that basketball and a little bit about that. And, of course, a lot of football getting ready for Saturday's game in Lincoln. Luke Hoover from RotoWire will be with us in our last segment to answer all your fantasy football questions. So be sure to email those in, tweet them in, Facebook them in, whatever the case may be. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperStation.com. Our Twitter address is at ESPN1460-1550. And, of course, Facebook is ESPN Superstation. And we will hear from Jared Crick. He's in Houston, Texans. Man, Ed Reed, they get rid of him. Gary Kubiak with the mini stroke. He's coming back. The same agent Richie Incognito has, Jared Crick has. And we get an interesting perspective with Jared on that. And that interview will be coming your way towards the bottom of the hour here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So Paul Kondike in our next segment, then Jared Crick, then Luke Hoover from RotoWire. We've got a full show. So let's take a look at the volleyball tournament and then get into our football talk. First off, Millard West wins in Class A. Currently, it is Millard North taking on Papillion La Vista. Then Omaha Marion will play Lincoln Southwest, and Lincoln North Star will be taking on Southeast in the final matchup there. In Class B, Northwest, as we told you, beat Beatrice. Waverly current leads Norris 12-7 here in the first set. Then tonight, Pius plays Elkhorn South, and Aurora plays Scutt at the Heartland Event Center at 8:30. In Class C1, Ogallala and Wayne play at 2. These are all here at Grand Island Senior High. Kearney Catholic Shadron will play at 4 on Classic Hits 98.9. Then Columbus go to Syracuse at 6:30. And Minden Wahoo at 8:30 on Classic Hits 98.9. St. Cecilia, a 5-set winner over Lutheran High Northeast in C2. All of their games are at Northwest. Palmyra and Crofton will be getting underway there. Then it's Ord and Freeman at 2. And Humphrey Lindsay Holy Family will play West Point Guardian Angels at 4. In D1, all their games are at Grand Island Central Catholic and begin at 2. O'Neill St. Mary's plays Cross County at 4. Friend against Chambers Wheeler Central at 6:30. Brady will play Bruning Davenport Shickley. And at 8:30, Axtell will play Howells Dodge, and that can be heard on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. And finally in D2, Gilder swept Layton. Currently, Meade is playing Sterling. And then tonight at Northwest, Bertrand plays Wallace at 6:30. That'll be on Classic Hits 98.9. Stewart will play Fall City Sacred Heart. So that's what's going on here at the State High School Volleyball Tournament. Nebraska's Amir Abdullah this morning has been named one of 10 semifinalists for the Doak Walker Award given to the nation's top running back. Abdullah enters Saturday's game with 1,213 rushing yards on the season. His 135 yards per game leads the Big Ten and ranks fifth in the nation. In conference, Abdullah's run for just under 150 yards per contest. And if he can go for 100 yards on Saturday, he'll be the first Husker running back to have 7 consecutive 100-yard rushing games since Amon Green in 1997. So Abdullah, a Doak Walker semifinalist. It's the second time in 3 years Nebraska's had a semifinalist. Rex Burkhead got that semifinal award during his junior season. So good news there for Amir Abdullah, who's really been carrying this Nebraska offense so far. So there you go. Other sports to tell you about that has implications from around the area. Let's delve into that. We talked about the state football playoffs yesterday. A reminder that tomorrow A and B will go, and it's going to be a huge night here in Grand Island with the state volleyball semifinals going on here at Grand Island Senior High and the state football semifinals going on just across the street at Memorial Stadium against Omaha North. So best of luck to the Islanders in that game, their first semifinal since 1990. Yesterday was National Letter of Intent signing day, and Olivia Boonder, who is playing right now for Waverly, we knew she was signing with the Huskers a year ago, and she is playing here for her Waverly Vikings against Norris, leading at 16-7 of the first set. Sydney Townsend from Lincoln Pius X, the libero, will be playing in the state tournament. She signs with the Huskers, and Maddie Haggerty, outside hitter from Illinois, also signing. Nebraska basketball, Jacob Hammond, the 6'10", 230-pounder out of Oklahoma, who was in the ESPN.com and Rivals.com top 150. For UNK yesterday, they get York High School guard Ty Danielson, who's averaging over 20 points and 5 rebounds last season. And they also get 6'7", 210-pound post player Trey Landsman out of Harlan, Iowa,
who's averaging 16.5 points and 9 rebounds. The Hastings College women's basketball team now 5-0. Cammy Bruckman had 22 points. Laurel Zwiener, 13. Jamie Van Kirk, 12, as they beat Friends University of Wichita, Kansas, 72-64. The Hastings Broncos will open conference play at home Saturday afternoon against Northwestern of Iowa. The Hastings College men will host Midland tonight at the GPAC Soccer Championship. That at Lloyd Wilson Field gets underway at 7 o'clock. Maddie Mahalik and Alex Geyer of Hastings College, by the way, are the GPAC Soccer Players of the Week. So I think that catches us up to date on everything else that's going on in the world of sports. If you are going to the Husker game this weekend, Nebraska is going to celebrate a milestone made possible by the countless hours that student-athletes have put in the field and classroom. They have surpassed the 300 mark in COSIDA Academic All-Americans during this year. They're the first college or university in any division to produce 300 Academic All-Americans, and Nebraska will be honoring a variety of those athletes Saturday during the Michigan State game, and a lot of them will be back. It is just amazing to see the sports that Nebraska has covered with Academic All-Americans, and football far and away with 104. They do have a third of Nebraska's all-time Academic All-Americans. And some of the other sports, track, cross-country for the women, they have 26, softball 29, volleyball 37 Academic All-Americans. Baseball has 18 of those, including Adrian Fiala back in 1970. Men's basketball has 7 of them. Women's basketball has 8 Academic All-Americans at the University of Nebraska. Wrestling also has 8. So they've got that going on. And also, Mary Weatherholt, who won so many awards in her tennis career at Nebraska, has been honored by the NCAA with a top 10 award. It's the most prestigious individual student athlete honor based on academic achievement, athletic accomplishment, and community service. The top 10 award is the top of the heap award. Nebraska has claimed more than any other NCAA school, 17 of them in school history. Next after that is Stanford with 15 and Alabama with 12. So Nebraska continues and needs to continue to use that as a selling point when they go out recruiting to the athletes and their parents about the academic success that they have had at the university. When we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Grand Island, the state volleyball tournament, Paul Cohendike's going to join us to talk Spartan football and a little bit of basketball. Stay with us.
For a limited time at Complete Nutrition, it's our It Takes Two sale.
It's a fact that if you try losing weight with a partner, your chance of success improves dramatically. That's why Complete Nutrition's unique consultative approach to weight loss has helped thousands.
We truly become your partner to make sure you reach your goals. Right now, get 50% off two of our most successful weight loss products, CTS and Charger.
We'll also be giving you a 30-day supply of our most powerful multivitamins free.
For her, there's CTS, clinically proven to cut weight fast.
For him, get Charger and lean up, lose the gut, and have more stamina. Hurry, for a limited time at Complete Nutrition, get 50% off all CTS and Charger products
and a free 30-day supply of multivitamins, only from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's The Herd. November is filled with reasons to send somebody roses from 1-800-Flowers.com. Birthdays, anniversaries, or maybe just because. I like the just because. Think about your reason and send roses to make her day. Only from your rose authority. 1-800-Flowers.com. I do it with my wife all the time. Honey, it's Tuesday. Well, why the flowers? Oh, just because you are amazing. Well, she actually is. Because you're one of my loyal listeners. For a limited time now, they've got an exclusive offer, 24 multicolored roses. I have this at home for only $24. That's over 50% off the regular price. Limited time, though. 2 dozen roses, $24. That's the lowest price 1-800-Flowers has ever offered. You better order today while supplies last. To order 24 roses, 2 dozen, for just $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or download the mobile app. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and...
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
Show rolls on with the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road today here at the State Volleyball Tournament in Grand Island. Your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. For the remainder of the year, you are going to get some great, great deals, huge hassle-free discounts, and consumers can keep all the rebates. You know, sometimes you have to control yourself. Well, do I want the cash back? Do I want the low financing? Do I want the great low monthly payments? Well, right now you can get it all on all new and pre-owned vehicles at your Midway Auto dealerships. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and the all-new ThinkMidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. The Doug and Daddy Show rolling on this Thursday, and we welcome in to talk a little Michigan State sports, Paul Kondike from the Spartan Magazine. Paul, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to coming out to Lincoln. Always a good time, and the hospitality is second to none.
Well, I got to start right there with you before we dump into football. True, honest question. Michigan State fans right now are more interested in A, the football team having a chance to go to the championship game, or B, the basketball team after their win against Kentucky.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, Michigan State's had a great basketball tradition dating all the way back to Judd Heathcote before that even. But football has always been king at Michigan State, and Tom Izzo will be the first one to tell you that. So I think there's a lot of buzz about both programs, and certainly this is a huge game coming up this weekend. And I think a lot more talk about the football game at this point in the week than basketball.
Paul, at the beginning of the year and when we were in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, I was one of those that just didn't think Michigan State would be in this position. I knew the defense was great, but I just thought the offense was going to hold them back too much. What has changed as the season has progressed to make this team where they're at, an 8-1 overall?
Well, I think the big thing is they found the quarterback in Connor Cook, a guy that, you know, his numbers don't jump off at you when you look at stats, but I think he's a quick decision maker. He doesn't let things rattle him. When he has a tough play, he bounces back, and I think that resilience has kind of enabled the offense to settle in. But the other thing, the constant with the offense has been an offensive line that's been together for a long time. They're banged up last year. Eight of those guys in the offensive line have started before. So, you know, I think that's always been the constant. And the big question was, you know, are they going to find a quarterback? Are they going to find a replacement for Le'Veon Bell at tailback? And Jeremy Langford has given them that. So I think, you know, those big question marks there at the beginning of the season have kind of taken care of themselves. And the one thing about a great defense, you know, if you've got a great defense, you're going to be in every game. Doesn't mean you're going to win every game, but you're going to be right there. So you don't need to get too far on offense. You just need to get, you know, a little bit better than functional. And I think that's what Michigan State is doing right now.
Talking with Paul Kondike of SpartanMagazine.com here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Last year, Michigan State had some success running the football. Tell me more about Jeremy Langford, and can he have that same success against what is probably a weaker Nebraska defense, even though they've played better the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, you look at Nebraska, and you know, I like a lot of what they're doing on defense, but it seems like they're, you know, they've just gotten by the last couple of weeks. And I think what you've got with Michigan State is you've got a physical offensive line, you've got two good tight ends, or actually you got three or four tight ends that can block, and you got pulling guards and fullbacks, and Langford is a lot different than Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is a guy that, you know, get yards after contact, a lot of them. Langford can lower his shoulder, and he can pick up a tough yard if he has to, but he's also a home run threat. I think, you know, he's, you know, in the off-season conditioning, they clocked him in the 4.3. So he's a 200-pound tailback that can get out and run pretty good. He's just starting to come into his own, and I think what you're seeing from him is you're seeing a guy that's pretty darn fresh because he's splitting carries with some of the other tailbacks. And another guy, I guess, to watch in that backfield would be a true freshman, Dalton Williams, a guy that Nebraska recruited pretty hard, out of Erie, Pennsylvania. And he's kind of more of that big-bodied, lower-the-shoulder type running threat. So those two guys together, I think, present some problems. Both guys are pretty good in pass protection, but I think Michigan State's really kind of got something going on the ground with their running backs.
Paul, you think we're going to see that ball in the air very much on Saturday, considering neither team has really thrown the ball well, especially in Nebraska since Taylor Martinez's injury?
Yeah, I think if you're Nebraska, I mean, if you look at what Michigan State opponents have done all season long, I know Nebraska wants to run the football, but, you know, just going back to the Iowa game, that, you know, I've never seen Kirk Ferentz abandon the run when, he's been within striking distance. And they just kind of chucked and ducked the whole game. And that was kind of an eye-opener for me. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, that's just the same thing. They just threw the ball deep downfield. Teams have just been, you know, not trying to run the football against Michigan State. They just kind of said, hey, we're not going to be able to do it, so our best chance is to take deep shots on the field. I don't think that strategy would work very well if you're Nebraska. I think you got to stick with what you do well. And Amir Abdullah is a great tailback, and Michigan State's going to have its hands full. But, you know, you're looking at a rush defense that's given a 43 yards per game, a 1.6 yards per carry. And, you know, I don't care who they played on the schedule. That's impressive.
Paul, does Michigan State look at Nebraska as one-dimensional now?
Well, I don't, you know, I think they look at every opponent as trying to make them one-dimensional. If you look at what Michigan State does defensively, and I think most teams would say this too, but, I mean, it all starts with stopping the run. And you try to make that team one-dimensional. I think what Nebraska lacks without Taylor Martinez is that true home run threat. I mean, it seems like when Michigan State played Nebraska, when Martinez was healthy the last couple of years, it was always at a spot in the calendar where Michigan State was coming off a meat grinder of games, whether it be Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin, or last year, Nebraska was the 10th straight game for Michigan State without a bye week. And, Taylor Martinez, if you were a step slow, he'd take it the distance. And I don't know, if there's that same home run threat for Nebraska this year. On the other hand, I think from what I've heard from Michigan State players and coaches, they've got a lot of respect for the personnel, on the Nebraska offense. But I don't think there's that one guy that scares the living daylights out of you.
Paul Kondike joining us here for another couple minutes. Spartan Magazine on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Have they brought up last year at all, Paul, to talk about the way Nebraska came back and maybe had a couple calls go against him, or is that not motivation that they even need this year?
Yeah, I don't think that's motivation they need. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of close losses last year. I mean, the one-point loss to Ohio State where, you know, Curtis Drummond returns a fumble for a touchdown, and it gets overturned because the whistle was blown dead. There's a lot of games that Michigan State felt like they left points on the field, felt like they should have won. And I don't think it is, that's much motivation at all. I think the real motivation for Michigan State is, hey, if they win this game and take care of business on the road, then, they pretty much have the Legends division wrapped up. I mean, it's all about a Big Ten championship. Sure, guys are proud and guys are going to want to, right the ship. I know Mark Antonio has never beaten Nebraska, dating back all the way to his days on Glenn Mason's staff at Kansas back in the early 90s. So, you know, he's got some personal motivation. Mark Antonio will be the first to tell you, it's not about what he's done against them. It's about the current players, and these guys are pushing towards Indy, and I think that's what they're motivated by.
Well, everybody just says, okay, yeah, Michigan State has a great offense or a great defense, one of the best, if not the best in the country, and then they move on. Let's get to the brass tacks of it a little bit here, Paul. Why have they got – are they even better than we thought they were going to be?
Yeah, they're a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I mean, I knew they had experienced veterans and they had a lot of leadership. I think two things that made them real good is – Trey Waynes, sophomore cornerback. He's long, he's tall, he's really fast, and he's better than Johnny Adams was. So you get two lockdown corners in Darquez Denard and Trey Waynes. And then the addition of Shalee Calhoun, who is, and I don't mean this as disrespect to Will Golston, but he is, as a pass rusher, what Will Golston was hyped up to be. Will Golston wasn't an edge rushing threat. Shalee Calhoun is. He's a 10-sack guy. He hasn't got there yet, but he will, at some point in his career. He's a monster off the edge, and the ability to generate four-man pressure has really taken this defense from being a top five outfit the last 2 years before this to being in the conversation for being the best defense in the country.
We can run down all the stats, and one of them that's kind of impressive to me is that Michigan State's offensive line has only allowed 6 sacks, and Nebraska has actually gotten to the quarterback the last couple of weeks. Will they get to the quarterback this week?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue. Nebraska likes to pressure. The one thing I will say about Connor Cook, he's a big kid, about 220. He's starting to get a good feel for the pocket. He's able to move well, step up in the pocket, and make plays. I think the pass protection has been really good, and I think if you look at this Michigan State and what they do pass protection wise, as opposed to the previous week when you guys saw Michigan, I mean, they've got tight ends they can block, and I think the addition of Jim Bowman to the program, the old Ohio State coach, who's a trustful guy like D'Antonio, I think people criticize him for being first play calling when he was at Ohio State, but one of the things that he has really done a good job of, he is a very good mind when it comes to the O-line, and I think bringing him aboard has really solidified the O-line, and there's a lot of cohesion between the O-line, the tight ends, the fullbacks, the whole operation. So I think Nebraska's going to get to the quarterback. The quarterback's got to be smart, and they've got to limit the damage if you're Michigan State. But I think both teams are going to be able to affect the quarterback with a pass rush to a certain extent. So maybe it'll come down to which quarterback makes the fewest mistakes. But I don't think Connor Cook has to win this game for Michigan State. I think the defense will keep him right there. And on the flip side, I think that if you're Ron Armstrong or Kellogg, I think those guys might have to win it for Nebraska. So that's kind of not an enviable position to be in.
Well, everything looks good for Michigan State, from sacks allowed to turnover margin to making field goals this year in case it's a close football game. Very rarely, Paul, does a non-top 10 ranked team come to Lincoln as a favorite, and that's what Michigan State will do on Saturday. When we walk out of the stadium Saturday, what do you expect the final? How do you think this game's going to come down?
Well, I keep on thinking that it's going to be closer than what my gut and my head tell me. I'm thinking it'll be, I said this the other day, 31-17. I think that could be a score. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan State wins by more, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 14-0 game either. I think this Nebraska defense has improved a lot. My question is whether they can stop, a power run game, not just a quarterback running or what have you. So I think Michigan State's got everything lined up in this game, and I think they're fresh. And I think that sometimes at this time of year, that's about, the biggest edge that you could ask for. I mean, this is November, and I think these guys are moving about as well as I've seen them move this time of year since I've been covering Michigan State, which is going on a decade now.
Folks, for more information, be sure to check it out at SpartanMagazine.com. Paul Kohndike joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul, thanks so much for the time, and enjoy the game Saturday in Lincoln. Can't wait to see you.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. I always like coming out to Memorial Stadium. It's a great place, great venue, and you guys have the best football fans in the country.
Well, we'll try and keep it that way. They're a lot better when they're happy, too.
Absolutely.
Paul, thanks for the time.
All right, take care, guys.
Paul Kohndike, SpartanMagazine.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And let's get into our Midtown Mart Cooler question, which every Thursday has to do with your Nebraska prediction. How will the Huskers fare Saturday against Michigan State? Now, this week, Nebraska is an underdog. So your three choices are: Nebraska will win, Nebraska will lose, but they'll cover, which is 6.5 for our poll question, or they will lose and not cover.
You can vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com is where you can vote on our poll question. How will the Huskers fare Saturday against Michigan State? Our poll question over the last 24 hours, which local volleyball team has the best chance of winning a state title? And 46% of you went with Grand Island Northwest. 31% said Bertrand. They're the only two undefeated teams remaining in the state. We also had votes for Giltner, Kearney Catholic, Hastings St. Cecilia. So that was our vote yesterday. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Midtown Mart cooler question. When we come back, we've got Luke Hoover in the last segment, but Jared Crick, Houston Texans, will join us when we return on the Dougie and Daddy Show.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 30.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With partly sunny skies developing today, we'll climb up to 57 for a high, with northwest wind staying about 5 to 15. Now, with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head back to 32 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 54.
Show rolls on here on ESPN Radio, and great to catch up with Jared Crick once again. The Houston Texans, my Super Bowl pick, and I people can say it's my kibosh that did that, but again, all I can say is I got it right last year with the Niners and the Ravens. So Jared, please don't throw it on me. I think it's more about the beard you started the season with than me picking the Houston Texans, but thanks for the time, and I know it's not all joy down there. You guys have been close. What's the mood like down there?
It's been kind of dim. Guys have been trying to stay positive and, put on a good face. But when you lose seven in a row, no one's feeling great. And
you know, just trying to figure out ways, you know, what we need to do to turn it around and, you know, get a win finally. So all we can do is just keep going back to work day to day and keep doing whatever we can to turn it around.
And if things aren't bad enough, what are you thinking in the locker room when Coach Kubiak doesn't come back in the Sunday night game? I mean, you guys are playing extremely well. Take me through where he's at. It looks like he's trying to come back in a limited capacity, at least so you guys know what's going on. But has he talked to the team since then? And what was it like in the locker room when they had to take him to the hospital?
Well, we saw Coops yesterday. He kind of gave us a rundown. He's going to be back to work this week, kind of in a limited fashion. He's not going to be there the hours he usually is. And, you know, he'll be there for practice and meetings. And I think after that, the doctors kind of advised him to keep it to that. But during the game, you know, yeah, like you said, we're rolling. I think we're up by 14 or 17, something like that. And, you know, you're walking through the tunnel to get to your locker room and all you have just, you know, an echo or reaction of people yelling for trainer, trainer, trainer. And, you know, and no one really thinks too much of it. Maybe someone got a cramp or, you know, something like that. But you get to the locker room and, you know, people are saying, hey, that was Coops. Coops went down. Coops is down. And you kind of wonder, well, from what? Did he trip? Did he slip on the ramp or something? Did someone, you know, throw something that shouldn't have? So you don't know. So we just kind of stood there instead of going through our adjustments through the halftime. We just kind of stood there waiting for, you know, the synopsis on Coops. And it's probably about 5 minutes later, you know, our head doctor came in and, you know, said, hey, Coops collapsed on the field. He's been taken to the hospital with an ambulance. And, you know, he was awake. That's all they really told us. That was the only positive that they told us was he was awake. So we didn't know, you know, heart attack or fainted. You know, we didn't know what was going on. So we kind of went through the whole second half not knowing what was going on with our head coach, which, you know, as a professional, you would, you know, you'd like to say that, oh, you know, nothing can faze us, but, and, you know, especially during a game. But when in under those circumstances, when you don't know what's going on with your head coach, part of your family, it ate at us. And I think, you know, that was part of the reason, if not the reason, you know, we let them back in the game and ultimately, you know, let them beat us. So it was one of those freak deals, man. I mean, you know, I guess Nebraska went through something like that last year with Coach Bo, and he turned out to be all right. So, you know, Coops is back to work, and that's a positive. But, you know, it's really makes you appreciate the game. He said that the last time he talked to us, and, you know, it's good to see him, you know, at least back and in good spirits.
Talk with Jared Crick here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, the former host of the Jared Crick Show, which, you know, again, anytime that we want the Jared Crick Show, we get the Jared Crick Show. Let's talk about the Jared Crick experience. It's kind of been almost week to week for you. You've had a couple of really good games where you've been effective, and then a couple of games where there hasn't been much of a stat line. I'm trying to say that you blocked the field goal a couple of weeks ago. Big Daddy says that it was Watt, so you can set me straight. Which one was it?
Well, I was both of us. It tipped off JJ's finger, and, you know, I got the palm on it. So I'll take, you know, 3/4 of the block. He can, you know, he get about 25%.
Exactly. But, exactly.
You know, if JJ wasn't in the way with his big hand, I mean, I would have got it completely. And, you know, I would have tipped it to the point, you know, where someone on the other side of the field would have took it to the house instead of, you know, getting run down by the kicker. So, I mean, you know, it was a good play on both our parts, I suppose.
Step further, we talked at the beginning of the year about your role. What do you think about your role right now? Everybody wants to play every snap, and when you're losing, I'm sure that it's a little tougher to take. But how about your role right now as we're in the second part of the season?
No, you know, I've been more of a special teams guy in the second part than I was in the first part of the season. First part of the season, I started that first game, and then Antonio came back from suspension, so I didn't play a whole lot of special teams to start out the season. But now my special teams role has been up there. That's where I've been getting, you know, I'm on 3 of the 6 special team units, so just been trying to do work there. And on defense, you know, whenever, you know, I get in the game, which you know, JJ, they like to keep JJ in and play a lot of snaps, you know, one, because, you know, they want him to get, you know, a lot of the accolades that he had last year. They want to get his stat line up and stuff like that. And Antonio, you know, he's a, you know, Pro Bowl caliber player. So You know, whenever them guys need a blow, you know, I get in the game. It's not like I'm not getting any snaps at all. But, you know, it's, you know, when you're three and out a lot and when you don't have a whole lot of long drives, you know, subs aren't really a huge factor. So, you know, but, you know, my my snap count's been pretty good so far. You know, like I said, when it's, you know, when we're getting three and outs and stuff like that, obviously the starters aren't getting that many snaps. So, you know, stuff for the 2D guys and then the backups to really get a whole lot of snaps also. But so far I've been pretty, you know, pleased with my year. You know, like I said, the stats might not be enormous, but, you know, if they don't run to your side, it's going to be hard enough to make a tackle. And, you know, I'm doing my part. I don't really have any sacks yet, but, you know, batted balls and stuff like that are a big thing for us. So, and I got three of them this year. So as long as I keep doing that and, you know, whenever I get in the game, just keep doing what I can to help the team. That's all I can do, really.
Talking with Jared Crick on the Doug and Daddy Show. Crick, this has been the dominant story. We're kind of waiting for something else to happen. But since you're there, I want to get your thoughts on the whole hazing deal out there. What's your experience been like? And can you relate at all to what's going on at Miami? As we've heard from all the players on ESPN, all the ex-players, we know that some variety of this goes on. But have you ever been part of something to the extent of what we're hearing in Miami? And can you share any of your whether it was college or pro, kind of what has went on with you?
Oh, the extent of my hazing was getting up and singing Regulators in front of the entire team, which I killed, of course. But other than that, you know, I think after that, after, you know, I went up there and I showed that I wasn't nervous to do, you know, the kind of things that rookies are expected to do, they didn't really take it to me that much. You know, they kind of, you know, when you're a rookie, if you're the shy type, you're kind of the ones that, they try to bring you out of your shell, so that's why they make you, you know, get up and sing your alma mater, or get up and sing a song, stuff like that. But, you know, here in Houston, you know, hazing is non-existent, really. I mean, rookies have it great here. Like I said, the only thing I had to do was get up and sing in front of the whole team, which every rookie had to do during the talent show. So it wasn't like anybody had to do anything abnormal or different. There wasn't anything physical or, you know, there's never any, like, emotional bullying, you know, like that. You know, I hear, you know, from all the people in Miami that, oh, it's, you know, it's just part of that locker room atmosphere. It's, you know, part of the football players, you know, mind. And really, they can say that, but that's not the truth. I don't, you know, guys around my squad aren't, you know, going around telling people they're going to kill each other's family or, you know, using vulgar language like that. I mean, it's, you know, my teammates are about as close as it gets. And, you know, we never say anything negative about each other. We joke about stuff here and there, but even again, who doesn't? So I don't know, something different's going on over there. I don't think we know all the, you know, all the stories. I'd like to see, you know, what the Jonathan Martin guy says, you know, because I haven't heard anything from him yet. All I hear is like all the stuff that the PR people are putting out there and, you know, trying to, you know, put Incognito in this bad light where he's this huge boy and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, everybody knows Incognito has a past, but I want to hear, you know, from Jonathan Martin himself, what's going on and stuff like that. You know, you hear all these stuff where it's, you know, back channel messaging that it's not Incognito, it's just a football atmosphere. And I don't know, it's just weird to me, man. I don't know if, I don't know what's going on. I just know I haven't seen anything like that in college or, you know, in the league. So I don't know if, I don't know. And like Incognito says, he's Jonathan Martin's best friend. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of weird. You know, people are probably going to make fun of Jonathan Martin and label Incognito a bully and a racist. But at the end of the day, until Jonathan Martin said something himself, you know, I don't know what to think of it. So it's a weird deal. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, my locker room didn't have to deal with stuff like that.
I know Richie made a couple of appearances in Lincoln after he was asked to leave the team. Did you ever meet him?
I met him once, and that's because, you know, we have the same agent. And, you know, he seemed like a super nice guy, you know, very polite, well-spoken. And, you know, I was expecting, you know, him to kind of be a little more, you know, friendly with me because we both went to Nebraska. But the entire night, you know, he was, you know, completely cool. He was, you know, completely different than what people label him as. And then, you know, he comes down to Houston and, him and Antonio get into it last year and this year when Antonio took his helmet off and swung it at him. So you know there's a pass between those two guys. And I asked Antonio, and Antonio asked me about him, like, you know, what is Incognito like as a person? He's like, I tell you the truth, he's been completely cool. And, you know, former teammates of Incognito said that too. He's just a great teammate and great guy. But, you know, something just kind of clicks during the game where, you know, he just turns it on, which is, you know, as a football player, you know, that's kind of what you want. But, you know, you just kind of got to curb it every now and then. So, and I guess on Incognito, I guess he has the past of not being able to curb it. So, I don't know. It's just one of those deals, man. But, like, when I met him, he was a nice guy.
Hey, we're talking with Jared Crick here for just another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Jared, I told you I've got a job shadower today, and I want to make sure I'm doing the best job that I can. Nate Muehlbach from Shelton, football player, but he tore up his ACL. You've been through the injuries in his final year at Shelton, your final year at Nebraska. You know, Martinez is going through the same thing as far as setting out his final year as a senior, it looks like. Give Nate some advice. He's got a chance to possibly go play football, and he might take his Regents scholarship to the university. But if he does decide to go play football, you only get one shot. You got any advice for him?
Yeah, just go in and, you know, prove yourself in a positive way. That's what you can do, you know. I know it sounds cliche. You want to be in there, and, you know, obviously you want to work hard to impress people. But just go in and do whatever coaches tell you to do. Work extremely hard. And, you know, learn the playbook. That's one of the biggest things that keep a lot of talented people off the field is not knowing what they're doing. So if you go in and prove that you can learn the system quick and execute it, you prove you're a hard worker and that you're a good teammate. That's one of the biggest benefactors that I saw for guys, you know, making it and playing ball, you know, over guys who are maybe a little more talented than them. So, and coming off an injury, that sucks. And, you know, I've been there. And, you know, it seems like the world's against you. It seems like, you know, there's no hope. But, you know, once you start feeling a little bit better, you start getting your strength back, movement back, you start getting a little more hope that, you know, you're going to be able to be back to 100%. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's a speed bump in life, makes you a better person. And, you know, if you decide to go play football, great. And, you know, if you don't, that's, you know, that's good as well. I mean, as long as you go and get your degree from whatever school, at the end of the day, that's really what matters.
Nate, you got any questions for Crick? The shy senior guy. I knew how that would go. We won't put him under the tire there. Hey, Crick, one more thing. Your Cozad Haymakers are playing some really good football, and you had Coach Cargill taking care of you in basketball, so you know him, and they're making a heck of a run.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're rolling. But you knew they would ever since, you know, Cargill took that job. Just, you know, playing for him in basketball and knowing what kind of personality he is. I knew he'd have them working hard. And, you know, they got the talent, and they're doing great. I've been trying to follow as many games as I could. It's kind of hard, obviously, you know, no radio down here. But, you know, whatever I can, whenever I get on Twitter and, you know, check a score from somebody, they're always doing well. So, it's exciting to hear them doing, you know, having the success they're going to have. I don't know how many games after this they have before, you know, the tournament, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to be listening, and it's going to be fun to, you know, hopefully they do well and be cheering for them.
Jared Crick, Houston Texans, former Husker. We'll let you out here with this, Jared. Have you got a chance to watch Big Red, especially the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I watched last week. You know, I kind of watched Northwestern game kind of off and on. I had to go to my meeting Saturday night, so I didn't get to see the Hail Mary or anything like that. I actually, you know, was down in the meeting room, and, you know, someone was watching it on their phone, and they had let me know, and because, you know, they were down by or whatever, yeah, you know, late when I left. And then, you know, they came back and won it, and, you know, that was pretty exciting. And then, you know, last week, I was glad to see the defense, you know, finally, you know, showed a little bit of backbone. I know they blitzed a lot, but sometimes that's what you got to do. I mean, until you have the personnel to just play straight up, play base, and, you know, win with that. So I think they're starting to get it figured out. You know, we'll see this week with Michigan State. They're supposed to be a pretty good squad. So I think this will be the game to tell whether or not they're, you know, getting better or whether they just, you know, just be some mediocre teams. But it's been fun to watch them. I don't know too many of the kids anymore, but, you know, I'm always cheering for Coach Bo. He's the man that put me in the place where I am now. He gave me the opportunity to start at Nebraska, and, I flourished in that system. So, wish nothing but those guys the best success, and especially Coach Bo, Coach JP, those guys who really taught me the game of football, and I can't say I am where I am without them.
Crick, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for the extended talk, and we can't wait to get you back for another edition of the Jared Crick Show. Have a great rest of the season, buddy.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Jared Crick, former Husker Houston Texan, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Had a chance to catch up with him as they get ready for this weekend's contest. A lot going on down there. And as we said, Ed Reed, who left the program, just picked up, or was released by the program, just picked up today by the Jets. We're at the state volleyball tournament, and right now they're even at a set apiece between Norris and Waverly in C2. Palmyra took the first set from Crofton in Class A. Millard North has evened their match with Papillion La Vista. They are even at a game apiece. And in D2, Meade, a 29-27 first set win over Sterling. Coming up, Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Get all your fantasy football questions in. We'll get them answered by Luke. And if you're looking to head to lunch today in Kearney, don't forget the place to go is the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A, for family fun, drinks, and food. Head on out to the Chicken Coop. Po' Boy shrimp sandwich is so good. Lovely sauce for lunch today. You can get a great deal and a very affordable price at the Chicken Coop. Don't forget to go in, watch Thursday night football tonight between the Titans and Colts, and watch all of your favorite sporting activities every single day. They're open 7 days a week, and of course there is a great variety to choose from on their menu, whether it's the chicken wings, bone-in, boneless, whether you want a steak, salad, burgers, pizza, great appetizers as well, or just to enjoy happy hour. They're there for you at the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A, Kearney. We're back with Luke Hoover of RotoWire next.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 20th and 21st at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, showcases hundreds of exhibitors that will help your ag business succeed. While you browse, enjoy free lunches and entertainment. The Gateway Farm Expo, sponsored by Midway Auto Dealerships, The Fence Post, and the Good Samaritan Hospital. The 2013 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 20th and 21st.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
The Home Depot has lowered prices for the holidays, so let's get a move on and get a Ryobi OnePlus 18-volt lithium-ion drill and impact driver combo kit for a new low price of $129. Then let's give the gift of drilling and driving and recharging in 30 minutes or less. Let's nail the perfect gift for our favorite do-it-yourselfer. Let's do this with holiday savings. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only.
And Progressive Insurance presents Flo's newest song. We compare rates to give you confidence.
We compare rates to find you a great deal, so you can be even more confident. Not that you need more confidence. I'm sure you're a great person with great posture, and you probably look really good in corduroy pants, which isn't easy.
Comparing rates to help you save. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Jackson from Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. When it's time for you to relax, whether it's an evening at home or when it's time to go to bed, make sure you're doing it on the most comfortable furniture or mattresses around. From Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance, since 1977 when the first Bruce Furniture opened, their focus has been about you, the customer. Always talking about you specifically and whatever you want, the color, the size, the style, the price. Not whatever your neighbor wants, not what your sister, not what your mother-in-law wants, what you want. It's just right for you. And they've been doing that every day for 36 years at Bruce Furniture. And with the four locations, they compete with big chains and quantity buying and freight charges, so you'll always get the lowest price. Great brand names, free delivery, free setup, free haul away. Bruce Furniture and floor covering, it's just right for you. And brucefurniture.com, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. It is time for fantasy football now. Oh, my goodness. Let's play that incredibly great Luke Hoover Open.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
Our fantasy football report brought to you by Fanatics, your fantasy football headquarters with high-definition televisions throughout the entire restaurant and sports bar. Free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams, NFL Red Zone, and NFL Sunday Ticket. And Fanatics guarantees that every NFL game is on at least one of their numerous televisions. Fanatics Sports Bar on the breaks downtown Kearney. Luke Hoover, good morning. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Well, trying to survive. It's state tournament time here in Nebraska with all kinds of volleyball and football to talk about. But I want to delve right into it here. We had some injuries again over the weekend. It seems like we waited a few weeks this year to get some major injuries, and that means there's not a lot of stars out there on the waiver wires. If Nick Foles hadn't already been picked up, he's gone. Case Keenum's gone if you're trying to replace some of your quarterbacks. Who are some of these deep guys? Say you got a guy on a bye week this week, Luke. Who's some of these deep sleepers that might be good for just this week?
Right. Well, we saw a couple guys going to get an opportunity out in Tampa again, and with Mike James breaking the ankle at the running back position. So now Brian Leonard and Bobby Rainey should take over. And it looks like it could be a relatively even split, but they both have a nice matchup against Atlanta this week. You know, and it looks like they're trying to run the ball a little more there in Tampa and help out Mike Glennon since his receiving core is a little thin. Another name I like, you know, at receiver is Greg Little. Probably not owned in a lot of leagues, but he's coming off his best game of the year at 122 yards before their bye week against Baltimore. And he's, you know, with Jason Campbell at quarterback, you know, somebody else could step up and emerge. Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron are drawing a lot of attention, so Little looks like he could be that guy.
What about at the quarterback position, Luke? Some folks kind of held on to Jay Cutler, and now they're not sure that's the way to go. Maybe you had Aaron Rodgers. There's a couple other out there. I'm looking at your Carson Palmers, your Ryan Tannehills, your Mike Glennons, Ryan Fitzpatrick taking over for Jake Locker. Are any of those guys good enough to play this week, or if you really, really need them the rest of the way?
Yeah, you know, if you are hurting at quarterback, you know, if you had someone like a Cutler get injured, might have just grabbed Josh McCown, backing him up. He's played really well when he's come in and relieved Cutler. You know, he hasn't even played, I think, a full two games yet, but he's thrown four touchdowns when he's been on the field. Ryan Fitzpatrick's had some success, and he's had success in the past with Buffalo, so he's got plenty of starting experience. And as you mentioned, even Carson Palmer, who's terrible the first half of the year, he's kind of starting to step up a little. He's got two touchdown passes in three of his last four games. So these are some options. Probably not for the, you know, going forward for the year of that group. I'd probably say Fitzpatrick's the best. But for this week, if you had maybe Romo, who's on bye, it's a nice bye week replacement.
Again, folks, if you've got a fantasy football question for Luke Hoover of RotoWire, you can email it, Facebook it, tweet us right now, and we'll get to him. Here we go. This comes from Dale. Who do I start, Le'Veon Bell, Ryan Matthews, or Fred Jackson?
If you're just picking one, I'd have to say Bell, because he's been getting the most touches. He's been active as a receiver out of the backfield. You know, Fred Jackson's had a good year, but that Jets defense is tops against the run, so I would rule him out.
And with Ryan Matthews, he's played well of late, but he's kind of hit or miss because you just don't know how much San Diego will commit to the run.
A 16-team league. Which quarterback? Keenum, Fitzpatrick, Glennon?
I would absolutely say Keenum. He's been terrific since he's taken over as the starter. His first game was at Kansas City, and all he did was throw for about 270 yards, and he got in the end zone. Hasn't thrown a pick yet this year, and three touchdowns each of the last two. It's a nice matchup against Oakland.
This comes from Jason. Nick Foles or Matt Stafford?
You know, that's actually a lot closer than it should be, particularly with Stafford going to Pittsburgh, where, you know, they have a very tough pass defense. Really only Brady has thrown on them. Because of the matchup, I would actually give a slight edge to Foles this week. He's gotten in the end zone 10 times in the last 2 weeks.
By the way, Luke, I did play Jake Locker instead of Matt Stafford last week, so how'd that work out again?
Oof, that's bad. That one's pretty
bad.
Bad
news, man. You gave me the right advice. That's all I'm saying. Luke Hoover of RotoWire, RotoWire.com. This comes from Dean from Glenville. He's in a PPR league and needs to start three of these four receivers. So which one does he bench? T.Y. Hilton, Marcus Colston, Vincent Jackson, Percy Harvin?
You know what? Even though it's PPR and Harvin's had a lot of success in that format in the past, I probably wouldn't feel comfortable starting him in his first game back if he does, in fact, play. It sounds like he probably will, but I wouldn't feel comfortable. And those other guys are, you know, have all performed well, you know, with the exception of Jackson sort of being down lately, but I think he'll bounce back against Atlanta.
We'll stay in the wide receiver position here. This comes from Scott in Kearney. Flex position, Marcus Colston, Tim Wright, or Sean Green?
It's got to be Colston. You know what? I know he's been dealing with the knee injury, and he missed a game a couple weeks back. But they're going to need him against San Francisco to move the football. They're not going to run it as effectively as they have, you know, in the last couple games, particularly against Dallas. And, you know, he got targeted 20 last week, and, you know, he's catching passes from Drew Brees, so that's kind of all you need to know.
Just a couple of minutes left here with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, RotoWire.com. If you shoot off your emails or your tweets right now, we'll still get them on. This comes from Trent. We go to the running back, Chris Johnson or Andre Brown.
You know what? It's surprising to say it, but to me, it's got to be Andre Brown. He's got a really good matchup. The Green Bay was great against the run, you know, before Rodgers got hurt, and then all of a sudden they can't stop it at all. Matt Forte and LeSean McCoy shredded them the last 2 weeks. Andre Brown, you know, is going to get some touches, and Chris Johnson's really kind of hit or miss lately.
Yeah, Chris Johnson, would you just recommend in the future just don't draft him so he's not a headache?
You know what? I've actually stayed away from him his whole career. I have yet to own him. And he had some huge seasons, but I've tried to stay away, especially in the last few years. He's been very inconsistent.
Running back, regular league, Steven Ridley, no Sean Moreno.
I have to give the edge to Moreno. Both are playing really tough defenses, but Kansas City is actually much better versus the pass than the run. Carolina is number two run defense, and you know what they've held. I think they've only given about two touchdowns on the ground all year. You know, Ridley's got a nose for that end zone, but Moreno probably will have a little more opportunity there to score.
Let's go back to our Twitter feed here. Sean says, I've got both Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. Normally this is a no-brainer, but Brees does play the Niners this week. So who should I go with, Brees or Wilson?
I think Drew Brees at home is always a no-brainer. So I wouldn't bench him for anybody in the league, and that includes Peyton Manning this week.
Wow, that's the man to go with. There you go for the folks that are in the no draft. Drew Brees is a selection. Before we forget, because Luke, I don't think I asked you this last week, and maybe I did, but who's the guy that you got to play outside of Brees, and who's the normal starter that might not have a good matchup this week?
Well, you know, at the quarterback position, that other name we just mentioned, Russell Wilson, he's got a great matchup. He's at home. You know, he sounds like he will get Percy Harvin back, and guys like, you know, Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Curse have also stepped up with Golden Tate playing at a high level. He's, you know, a lot of weapons, and he's playing pretty good football lately with, you know, what seems to be better protection than he was getting. You know, as far as the guy to bench, we already kind of touched on this as well. But I think you could probably find a few better options in Matt Stafford this week. you know, with the road trip to Pitt, and even a guy like Tom Brady potentially going at Carolina. They've got one of the better defenses in general in the league, possibly the best, and have given up just 7 touchdowns while picking it off 13 times.
Luke, the injury report has a lot of guys questionable, like a Calvin Johnson. You can go up and down the line here, I guess. There's quite a few guys that are questionable. Anybody that we really need to keep our eye on, usually that questionable means they're not practicing. They play Sunday. What's your thoughts on the injury report this week?
Well, one that I was surprised to see, and, you know, I haven't seen the exact designation if he is questionable, but now Roddy White is dealing with a shoulder injury, it sounds like. You know, and he's coming off both the ankle and the hamstring issues. He's going to be playing, if he does suit up, he's going to be playing against Tampa Bay, where Darrell Revis is now playing in man coverage. I don't see any way he really has a big game. So he's probably a name to stay away from. You know, at the running back position, trying to think of any big names that come to mind. And, you know, anybody I think that's questionable at this point of the year, maybe a guy like Ben Tate, he's been banged up. But, yeah, I think you have to start him. He's just I want to touch on that because I know some people may be a little bit afraid of that. But Oakland, as good as they've played at times defensively, is still susceptible, and Ben Tate's going to get a lot of carries.
Let's go with the last couple questions here. This comes from Brandon in Kearney. He goes, I'm in a 16-team league. Which of these two should I start? Mike Wallace, Nate Washington, Eddie Royal, Michael Floyd.
Well, Michael Floyd is another one of those guys that's questionable with the shoulder injury. With the matchup against Jacksonville, I would normally say him. But you probably do want to bench him because he's banged up if he does go out there. But Mike Wallace is probably the number one. You know, he did nothing this last week, but that was, you know, a result, I think, of Darrell Revis. Ryan Tannehill actually did have a pretty nice game throwing the football, and I expect Wallace to bounce back a bit this week at home. And then I kind of like Eddie Royal in that same matchup. Been hit or miss, but you know, Phillip Rivers is going to have to throw the football on the road. You know, they may not run it as well. Miami really is kind of a litmus test for them to step up defensively, and I think Rivers will need a guy like Royal in the red zone.
And what do you do with Dwayne Bowe? I mean, some guys, he's kind of your last receiver or flex player. They're going to start him, they say. Do you play him against this bad, well, not the greatest Denver pass defense?
I would say, you know, if you're weak at the receiver position right now, if you're dealing either with injuries, you know, or you got a guy like a Dez Bryant on bye, you could possibly start Bo as your last receiver or last flex because, we saw this in the last game before their bye. He finally started getting targets, caught 7 balls for 67 yards, and they're going to have to throw it against Denver. They can't rely completely on Jamal Charles, and they really don't have that many other receiver options. So it's about time for Bo to step up, and the talent has always been there, so that's not an issue. I think he could be a decent flex.
And Darren Sproles, he's on my bench in 2 leagues last week, and then they decide to play him again. How do you know, is there any advice for some of these guys that are platoon players like Sproles when the coach decides he's going to put him in and when he's not? Anything specific that you look for, Luke?
Well, I mean, in this case, Sean Payton's the type of head coach, he's going to play some matchups, but being the offensive genius that he is, I think he's going to use Sproles certainly more than he's not. With the Niners, the defense, like I mentioned before, they're pretty tough against the run. They've improved since they struggled a little earlier in the year. Darren Sproles presents a matchup nightmare for any defense, and I'd be surprised if they don't get him involved more this week, like they did against Dallas. I definitely would play him as a number 3 at least running back in the flex possibly. And he's a borderline number 2 given how thin the position is.
Okay, well, then I'll ask a question. We'll get out of here. I'm in a PPR league, and I've got a flex and 2 running backs. Dwayne Bowe I could throw in there as well. Giovanni Bernard, Danny Woodhead, Sproles, Maurice Jones-Drew. Which one of those 4 would you set?
Of the 4, you said this is a PPR league?
That's correct.
That one is very close because Maurice Jones-Drew has actually been catching the football out of the backfield lately. But of that group, you know, the other 3 are such good pass catchers. I don't think you can ever bench Gio Bernard or Woodhead in a PPR league. And I'm going to give the edge to Sproles, considering what he did last week. Arizona is one of the best run defenses in the league as well. So I think they could stifle Jones-Drew a little bit.
Joe Drew against Arizona, Sproles against San Francisco. Sproles, all right. It looks like he got all of the questions asked and answered for this week. So, as always, thanks for the time on the Doug and Danny Show. We'll talk with you next Thursday.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Luke Hibber of RotoWire at RotoWire.com. And don't forget to get signed up for the Fantasy Football Challenge brought to you by Fanatics on the Bricks downtown Kearney. You just go to ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the banner. There's a floating salary cap. Play the high, the prize. Your team each week. Each week, we give away a $25 gift card to Fanatics, and second place gets a free large pizza. The winners are entered into a drawing, a $200 Super Bowl party for you and your friends at the end of the year. It's free. There's prizes. One, it's Fantasy Football, the Doug and Daddy Fanatics. Fantasy Football Challenge. Check it out at ESPNFirstTeam.com. And that should wrap things up for our program today, live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth here in Grand Island at the State High School Volleyball Tournament, where Waverly currently is down 2-1 to Norris in what would be a little bit of an upset here. The staff in Class A is now up 2-1 over Millard North. Also, let's see if we got one more update here for you before we let you go. Sterling's taken game two from me, 25-23. So they are even at a set apiece. Millard West, Northwest over Beatrice, and Giltner over Layton, all in straight sets. And St. Cecilia beat Lutheran High Northeast in five. Coming up later today on Classic Hits 98.9, Kearney Catholic Shadron at 4, Bertrand Wallace at 6:30, Minden Wahoo at 8:30, on the Breeze 94.5, Axtell Howells Dodge at 8:30. We want to thank Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com, Crick Husker, Cozad Haymaker, and current Houston Texan for joining us on today's show, as well as Paul Kondike from Spartan Magazine. Tomorrow, Pigskin, give $80 up for grabs in cash. Plus, we'll have Jim Langan in and get you ready with some Nebraska recruiting news as well. Enjoy the rest of the day, and be sure to catch us on PlatteRiverPreps.com for more State High School Volleyball. Doug Duda saying thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.